B-Pod Studios.
An app. These guys know how to connect with you about Boston sports.
This may feel strong, but you people are stupid.
OMG. It's Felger and Maz, 95 The Sports Hub.
Hour two, Felger and Maz, as promised, right back to your telephone calls. Here's Will and Beverly with a baseball cheating question. Yes, Will.
Hey, boys, long-time listener, first-time caller. I just want to know, like, how we're not talking more about how the Astros cheated like that. It would be equivalent to if Belichick knew what play was coming with Aaron Rodgers in live time, and then knowing that, okay, Aaron Rodgers has five options he can go to, but he's going to option A. That would be the information that is what the Astros were getting all the way up until they won the World Series. So, thanks for listening, boys. So listen up.
Okay, babe. So why is that getting enough attention? Can't you answer your own question? Is it could be because people don't care about baseball like they used to and don't care about baseball like they do about football? Okay, that's number one. With a bullet, that's number one. If that Astros thing came out 30 years ago, it'd be the biggest story in sports.
Huge.
It's just we don't care about baseball unless it's our team. I mean, that's unfortunately what's happened to the sport. It's regional. So we don't give two poops about the Houston Astros. But in the baseball world, it's still a big story.
I bet you it comes out next week.
Yeah, and I think it's coming. I think it's coming, and I think they're going to get walloped.
As soon as the winter meetings are over, we're right near Christmas, the commissioner will announce what the penalties are.
Yeah.
And very few people even hear about it. Relatively few.
Listen, Mad Dog, he thinks they're going to get walloped.
They are. They're going to get creamed.
Good. And they should. They absolutely should. And they should absolutely be vilified. And it just made me think. The Astros are the U of baseball. It's just people don't care about baseball. And they haven't won enough to, you know, engender the level of jealousy and hatred that you've engendered. But they're the same thing. They're always sneaking, or how many times have they been reported or had to be clamped down on or gotten memos about or incidents? They're constantly, the Astros, constantly in the middle of one thing or the other. Was, you know, was their dirtbag assistant GM with the, you know, the female reporter with the, was it Asuna that they signed? Or,
yeah.
You know, so that whole story, was it the stealing of something, the
Cardinals.
Yeah, was that the Cardinals or the Astros?
I think they were the victims in that one.
Okay, allegedly. Who knows? You know, spy versus spy. They're in the middle of that thing. And then they're stealing this sign, that sign. They're here at Fenway Park getting pictures taken or taking pictures. Some nefarious guy on the team playing. They're the U of baseball. Okay? And so just picture this now. The Houston Astros next year have a in-house video crew doing a online video shoot for catcher signs in baseball. And they have a film crew in center field out there of independent contractors in center field taking a video of the catcher because they want to illustrate their special that shows their advanced scout trying to look at how the catcher positions. And so they're taking this video. And when they get caught, the guy says, well, we didn't know the rules. And what do you say?
No way.
Oh, shove it.
Yeah, that's right.
So this is what you're expecting the country and everyone else to do when it comes to the Patriots in this thing.
Right. The Patriots have a massive credibility problem, which to me is really what the issue is. So again, and I get sensitive to the regular Joes because the McNally-Jastrzemski thing still. And call me an idiot. I feel bad for those guys. Like, they got caught in the middle of this whole thing, and they're the ones that lose their jobs. Those two schmoes, two regular Joes, lose their jobs over that? Meanwhile, you know, Brady and Belichick, whatever, they go along living and still cashing in tens of millions? That bugs the crap out of me. I'm sorry.
John in Agawam. What do you got, John?
Yeah, guys, we all can't believe that Belichick would do this again, but the wild card that you've never mentioned, nobody's brought up, is how about a young Belichick trying to impress his dad?
You know, this is Anakin Skywalker trying to impress the Emperor. No, was Anakin Darth Vader?
Anakin was.
Whatever. So it's like, look at Emperor, look what I have.
Luke, I'm your father.
No, I don't think. I do honestly believe the football department had nothing to do with this one. Okay? They're not that stupid, and they're not going to send their film crew into a press box in front of Bengal scouts to shoot the Bengal sideline. That's not Steve. That's not Bill. Not even Ernie would order that. But I'll say again, if they didn't get caught, if they just were allowed to do it and no one noticed, and they came back, you think Ernie sees that tape and now has 35, 40 minutes of clean sideline videos to look at coaches and personnel and whatever hand signals they are using? You think Ernie takes a look at it? I mean, so like on the back end, that's sort of how I look at it. But you can't punish someone because you might have used it on the back. I'm just saying, like, maybe there's a culture there where they know if you grab it because they use everything. And that's as far as I go with that.
Well, look, again, the part that to me that I emphasize, if Bill Belichick's football operation has a credibility problem, whose fault is that? That's Bill's fault.
Chris in the car. What do you got, Chris?
I think you gotta follow, like, who does this benefit the most? And I think you see, like, the offense is struggling. Maybe Tom Brady. You know, it's not like he hasn't been caught in the past, you know, deflating the footballs and stuff. So I'm just going to say that you got to kind of figure out, like, who does this benefit? And I know the Patriots fans, they don't want to hear it, but, you know, it's just a little too shady for my liking. And I think, you know, probably Tom Brady should be suspended, because that's where I think it came from. I think it came from Tom Brady.
Okay, Chris, I don't know where you're coming up with that.
He's being a wise ass.
Yeah, just someone that doesn't like Brady.
Okay, aren't you stunned, though, that...
I think he even gives a rat's ass. He's got one foot out the door.
Just the calls we've taken now, 2.5 days, more people are willing to say that they screwed up. I don't trust that. You know, I in terms of, like, the defense crew, I haven't heard much Patriots defending.
No, look, because, I think that, you know, the average person understands.
I think even their own fans are distrustful of them when it comes to this stuff.
Because they understand the Patriots' credibility has taken a massive hit over the last 12 years. And it's really more than that. And I'm going back to the beginning of Spygate through Deflategate. How many of these can you have before your own fans eventually look at you and go, well, what do you expect me to believe you again? I mean, how many times are you going to be the boy that cried wolf? So now on this one, again, I don't know if fans are you know, maybe they are surprised that, you know, people like you and people like myself and even Murray are sitting here going, I actually believe them on this one. I don't think they were up to no good. Maybe they're surprised by that because I think that this one is innocent. Okay? But in terms of the fact that the Patriots have a credibility problem, well, how could you blame anyone for thinking they're guilty if they did?
Carlos in Connecticut. Hi.
Hi. How's it going, guys?
It's going good. What do you got?
I have a quick question. Well, not a question, a comment. I'm a field producer, and I do a lot of freelance photography. I do a lot of freelance photography for sports in New York City because I live in Connecticut. Let me tell you something. As a freelance photographer, you don't talk to the producers. You talk to the executive producers, and mainly you get in basic information. So by the time you go to the stadium, you're at the press box, you're anywhere, any place, you try to make the most and get as much video as you can. So the amount of video that the person shot, it was up to the photographer because you want to be proactive.
It's not what happened, Carlos. The producer was right there setting up the shot and the monitor and everything. The full-time producer, not the freelancer, not the stringer. And even the freelancer and the stringer were craft employees. They were regular craft crew members. They were... just part-time, they weren't full-time. To call them independent contractors is massaging the truth and disingenuous, okay? They were regular craft sports production employees. They may not have been benefited or get full-time hours, okay? But they're regular members of that crew. So the first thing is the independent contractor ain't sorry, no. The one guy that was the full-time craft sports production producer is one who set up the shop and stood right there. So... sorry on that. And okay, so now to the second point. You try and get as much video as you can. I understand that to a point, you know.
I would say a variety of video that you can get.
To a point. So I've never seen it. I didn't even know they existed before this whole thing started. But these Do Your Job specials are 10 to 15 minutes on .com, right? On Patriots.com or the YouTube channel or whatever. DAZN. So they're 10 to 15 minutes. And... they're doing a thing on the advanced scout as he goes through his daily routine and what he does as an advanced scout. And part of what the advanced scout does is advance the opposing sideline. So to illustrate this, they take a shot of the opposing sideline. A shot. How long is that cutaway shot of this particular... he does other things throughout the course of his day. He's not just looking at the other sideline. They go through his whole day, apparently. So the whole thing. It only takes 15 minutes. So this one specific thing, yep, I also scout the opposing sideline. So boom, get a shot. That's 10 seconds, 15 seconds of B-roll that you use to cover that. So he's got to train the camera on the coaches' boxes and follow the coaches for a full quarter for over a half hour? I'm sorry, like that's another one. Like that's stretching it to me. I find that hard to swallow.
Yeah, I mean, again, I'm not arguing that point. That's a lot of video for that kind of thing.
God, that's a lot.
It's way more than you need.
And it could be useful to someone else in the building. So, like, I don't let them off the hook on that one. Jake in Boston. Go, Jake.
Hey, three things. If you don't interrupt, Felger, I'll be done in under a minute. Number one, independent contractors, let's call it what it is. Billionaire Bob Kraft is too cheap to pay for basic health care benefits for his low-level employees. Number two,
I'm not going to give you two and three when one is so silly. Or I just don't care to talk about.
I mean, everybody does it.
Billy Lanny was an independent contractor on Felger and Maz from 2009 until 2017. He was an 8-year daily independent contractor.
Seriously.
I mean, it is a wage and insurance scam for businesses.
Oh, it totally is. I mean, you know, again, they can categorize you as a 1099 employee or something stupid that's, you know, using IRS terms now but they don't have to pay you benefits.
But the Pats put that in their press release, you know, which included independent contractors. Like, come on, if they're going to massage that one. So that's what also gets my back up.
No, with good reason.
And my antenna up.
Yeah, with good reason. That's a manipulation.
If you're totally innocent, then just be totally transparent. Be totally, because when you tell little lies, that means you're massaging the truth and you're trying to build a narrative. Well, why do you have to build any narrative if what happened is what happened?
Right. We sent a crew to Cleveland that consisted of part-time and full-time employees.
And they screwed up. We sent a crew to Cleveland and it screwed up is what happened. Some were part-time, some were full-time. What does it matter? What time is? What does it matter? They were Kraft employees. They were guys that came from Boston. They didn't pluck the guy off the street in Cleveland. They were with local ties, as Howe said. They were local guys.
I mean, again, when I read independent contractors, I just view that as they got a camera guy in Cleveland.
Well, no, but they're trying to paint this picture of, well, they weren't even our guys. They don't even know what they were like. No. Come on. If you want to be believable, don't tell little lies. And then your whole story meets mustard. I just have a hard time getting past that. Meanwhile, the latest indication of Tom Brady's future, whether it be in New England or somewhere else, we get to that story right after these words.
Boston's home for sports.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most of us, Keith Urban also has a bucket list. You may be surprised to learn what is and is not on his. Text Keith to 45911 to read and learn more about the central theme of Keith's bucket list. Get a link to the story sent right to your phone when you text Keith to 45911. Go inside country music at BackstageCountry.com.
Boys and girls, I'm here today to present an exciting opportunity for togetherness.
Felger and Maz.
That's awesome.
Of course it is.
That's great.
98.5, the Sports Hub.
All right, so there was another story. And I forgot my readers at home. So I just picked these up in the studio. So I got a...
You should get a magnifying glass
Look so bad that I can't even... How are those?
Would you like some tea, madam?
Should I wear these or not? Like, some are so bad.
Leave them on. You've already put them on.
Like, I mean, even I just want to look at this stuff.
What's up, Cougar?
Michelle.
If it helps you read for the radio audience, I'm all for it.
What do you call them? Tortoise skin? What are these?
Yeah, I believe
not tortoise skin, but you know, tortoise shell. Whatever. They're not... All right, I'm
going to
wear them.
You got leopard skin pumps?
I got to be able to read.
What do you got over there? Let's dish about Tom.
These were just lying around the studio, but I got to be able to see. Tom Brady stepping down as honorary co-chair of the local Best Buddies Challenge event and moving into a new role as a global ambassador for Best Buddies International. So who the hell knows what global ambassador means? That could be anything, right? Basically, he's stepping down from his role with Best Buddies that he's held for the last 16 years, which means that charity football game at Harvard Stadium every single year that generates a lot of attention, a lot of money. That bicycle race down on the Cape that generates a lot of attention, a lot of money. This is a big local charity. It's, you know, in conjunction with, is it the Shrivers down there in Kennedy's down in the Cape and So it's a huge local charity that he's been front and center on for the last 16 years. He's stepping down from that role. And I don't know how you don't add it to the list of signs. How do you not add it to the list? I've heard some of the excuses, like he was stepping away from this for years. He has been for years. In fact, when the Globe did that story on him, diverting funds from that to his school fund drives and all that, when that negative story came out, he was already in the process of trying to leave the charity, and maybe that story led him to hang on for a year or two more just to, I don't know, prove a point, or I don't know. But Zoe was saying it today, too. He's disassociated himself more and more from that bicycle race, and so he's been edging away from it from the last couple of years anyway. Like, I get it. He still works for the charity as a global ambassador. What the hell does that mean? But I don't know how you don't... The football game at Harvard Stadium, which was the centerpiece of this whole thing, is done. He's now going to pass on the local co-chair to a combination of Jason Tatum and Julian Edelman, and they're not going to do a football game anymore. But Brady's football game has sort of become a staple, like an institution, done. And that bike race, the bike thing, done. How do you not add that to the list? In the last 4 months, 5 months, call it, Tom Brady has restructured his contract to put a clause in it that voids the contract at the end of the year and precludes the Patriots from franchising him. He has put his house on the market. His trainer put his Foxborough area home on the market. His father has come out and publicly said that if the Patriots don't want him, I'm sure someone else does. And now he has resigned from his high-profile Boston-based charity. I don't have to be Sherlock Holmes here to sort of put this together. Don't you add this to the list?
Of course you do. Yeah, no question about it. I mean, again, all the indicators are there. All the signs are there. Brady, one by one, is snipping all the little threads. All of them. And some of them aren't threads. Some of them are ropes. Like your house, that's a big one. And, you know, I don't know where you put this one. You probably put it somewhere in between, because I don't know that it's just a thread either. But little by little, he's disconnecting from the area. I mean, again, it's one thing. That's really what he's doing. All the ties that bind.
He's unplugging one thing after the next.
Are being severed. Every single one of them. Little by little. He's just disconnecting from the whole area. So it does. Now, again, he's Tom Brady, right? And he has means that 99.9% of the people on the planet don't have. If in a pinch he wants to stay here, he can always buy a condo. Right? No problem. But you don't make these kinds of moves if you think you're going to be here for a while.
Well, he's putting himself in a great negotiating position in that, and you know this, if you've ever bought a house or any negotiation you've been in, you put yourself in the absolute best position if you're willing to walk away. If you want to walk away, frankly, if you're not just willing, but in your heart and your mind, you're not bluffing, that you really are saying no because you don't want it, and you can walk away. And you can walk away free and clear. That's the only time you get what you really want, is when you can really walk away. And so Brady's putting himself in a position where he can walk. He can walk if he wants. And I don't think it's bluffing. So when you fake do that, it doesn't work. Because then you cave because you still need the job, whatever. But when you've cut all ties and you're really ready to go, that's when you put yourself in the best position. So he's ready to go.
Yeah, this is a lot if he's just trying to prove a point. That's why I just don't think he's trying to prove a point. Like, he's willing to walk and go somewhere else or retire.
I mean, he hasn't needed the job in a long time. Right? And he doesn't need to pad the resume anymore either. That one's gone too. So really now it's, you got to make it, you know, I'm done doing you favors. Like, why would I do you a favor just to play one more year of football?
Everything he's done has made it easier on him to say no. No to Robert in the offseason. Nope, I'm not taking that contract. Nope, I'm not staying. He's made it easier on himself every step of the way. And I don't see how you read that any different. And so now the question is, you know, the question is, does Robert come in at the very last and offer him that big money contract and sort of turn the tide on that? Does he retire or does he go somewhere else? But Brady's, I mean, the franchise thing was the biggest one.
Oh my gosh, that was huge.
Okay, asking and getting that, I think, tells you the most. That tells you the most by far, because now the team has no contractual rights on him. The rest of it is just sort of, again, setting up everything else and unplugging everything else. But so now what is it? Retirement, return, play for somebody else. I still don't think he has the balls to play for someone else.
Yeah, and look, like, in a lot of ways, you say it and it sounds like a negative, right? I was thinking about this the other day. He doesn't have the balls to do it. Like, it's critical of him. He doesn't have the heart to do it.
Yeah, and that's what I mean.
Right, and I don't, you know, because I say it too. I said the same thing, the balls. He doesn't want to play for anybody else. He wants to be a Patriot. Like, I actually think that that's a positive thing in some ways. In a lot of ways. Like, I give him credit for that. Like, you know what? That means something to him, and that doesn't exist anymore. That, you know, you get criticized probably for being soft, for thinking the way that Brady does. And that, you know, I still
think... Wait a minute. You still think that if he can convince Rob... Just hypothetically, he can convince Rob Gronkowski to come out of retirement, he can get Antonio Brown somewhere, that he's going to retire and he doesn't have the heart to play for someone else? I think you're crazy if you think that. If he can have those two, or the weapons of his choice, or coach of his choice, and play out a couple of years maybe with the L.A. Chargers or with the Miami Dolphins, he's going to do it.
Okay, but...
I don't think so.
You're asking a lot there, aren't you? Like, when I say Gronk's got to come out of retirement, they got to go get Antonio Brown, and he's got to be able to hire the coach.
You know what? I'll give you all that.
I think you're underselling the desperation of a team like the Chargers that is desperate.
No, no.
Desperate. So desperate to put asses in seats in that stadium.
I'll give it all to you. Great location, great team, massive contract, all those pieces around him. I don't think at the last that he wants to be the bad guy and, you know, I'm leaving. He doesn't want, no one wants, no one wants the stain of being the one that pushed Brady out of town. Brady doesn't want to be the one that's thought of as a guy that bolted for a better con. The Patriots wanted you, Tom. They offered you a contract. You'd rather be a Charger? He doesn't want that. And he may say he wants it now, and he may be puffing his chest like he does from time to time, but when a push comes to shove, he won't do it. He's never done it. And he won't do it.
Yeah, him and his people will spin it. Bill didn't want me. The money wasn't enough. They pushed me out.
Believe me, I am now hoping for...
That's what I want more than anything.
On my talk radio prayer carpet. Like,
dear take gods.
Dear take lord.
Who's got an office next to the Time Lord?
Go to Miami. Miami. Twice a year. Belichick versus Brady. Twice a year. Please, take lord. I promise. I'll never swear again. Whatever you want. Oh, my God. Twice a year, Brady. And so, like, a division team, twice a year, Brady versus Bill.
Playing for Coach Flo?
Oh, I don't care who he plays for. Brady versus Bill. Brady versus Bill.
It would be something, wouldn't it?
Twice a year.
I don't know that it'll ever
happen.
And
if you get real lucky, another time in the playoffs.
I'll tell you, that whole thing with the clause in the contract that you can't franchise me. And again, he can go to market, he can do whatever he wants. I think a significant part of it is just so he can say, I'm leaving on my own. I'm going to retire before you
quit. Yeah, I quit, you didn't fire me.
Correct. Right, you can't fire me, I quit.
I mean, look, right now he may be saying to himself, F these guys. Wait till they see me throw to AB in LA. Or me and Gronkowski back in Miami with Antonio Brown. Oh, I'm just a game manager now, or what? You know, you don't want to pay. Okay, let's. I'm sure he feels that way when he wakes up in the morning, or goes to bed at night, or Sunday afternoon after another horrible game. I'm sure he feels that way. But then here's the pen and paper, and here's the contract, and here's the actual shit. Now you're going to become a Miami freaking Dolphin. Do you have the freaking? Do you have the heart to do it?
I still think LA is the best spot. Oh, he could launch TB12 out there, L.A., new stadium. Oh, the whole thing. L.A.'s perfect.
I don't know if you play him, though. You're not guaranteed to play him on the schedule.
Next year? Chargers?
Okay. Are they?
No, yeah. I'm saying for him, L.A.'s the best.
I don't care about him. I care about me. Me.
Next year, they're at the Chargers.
Clearly.
Me. Me and the show. Twice a year. Oh, go in the division. Go to Miami. Twice a year.
Maybe three times if Miami makes the playoffs, because they would with Brady, right?
On that note, here is an update, and we will come right back.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most of us, Keith Urban also has a bucket list. You may be surprised to learn what is and is not on his. Text Keith to 45911 to read and learn more about the central theme of Keith's bucket list. Get a link to the story sent right to your phone when you text Keith to 45911. Go inside country music at BackstageCountry.com.
Something?
I don't know. Google it, Maz.
Listen to the podcast on the 98.5 The Sports Hub app.
That's idiotic.
Now back to Felger and Maz on Boston's home for sports.
All right, back to your phones as promised. Got some football items, a Brady thing, and other football things to get to. Paul Perillo from Patriots.com will join us in the 4 o'clock hour as well. Here's our buddy Pete in Delaware. Hi, Peter.
Hey, guys. How are you?
Good.
Hey, my take on this is pretty simple IQ goes. I don't believe the football knew, but it doesn't matter because the fact of the matter is it's in the rules. In New England, for whatever reason, some executive or something did not notify the Bengals or the NFL. And that is just ridiculous. And I think the reason why people aren't really up in arms defending the Patriots, because you can't defend how stupid they were in this incident.
So, and I think that, you know, I mean, everyone understands by now that they've been guilty in the past, and now they're asking us to give them the benefit of the doubt. And, you know, I think, I'm sure there's Patriots fans out there defending them, but even for a lot of the hardcores, it's like, I can't keep defending this. I can't, you know, people
it's
are allowed
to become exhausting.
Right. I mean, I can't do this again. You can't film the opposing sideline. You know this. We all know this. We've been through this now for like 15 years, and you send a crew to Cincinnati and film the opposing sideline? What are you doing?
Yeah, I mean, this falls under the category of, you know, fool me once, shame on me. Fool me twice, shame on you. Like, so, or the other way, whatever it is. Like,
you know. We got it.
You know, so I just think that in this case, it's like, come on. And so I get the frustration on the part of the football operation. Like, they're sitting there going, really? We didn't even do anything wrong. You're still going to blame us for it? My answer is, yep. Yep. Do you understand now the consequence of it? Do you? Like, this is what happens when you cheat.
Matt in Framingham, your thoughts.
You know, guys, here's the part that's so aggravating about this whole thing. Actually, two things. I'll make it quick. What is they should pick the hell of a time to get involved in something like this when their team is not exactly in great shape right now. And the second thing is, this was so easily preventable. All they had to do was have Belichick call up the league office and talk to somebody, whether if it's Troy Vincent or whatever, and say, look, here's the deal. This is what's going on. We're letting you know because we know about the cloud of suspicion in front of us. You want to send an NFL official down here to just make sure we're following the rules? That is all they could have done, and they couldn't do even that.
No question. If they had just notified the Bengals beforehand, if they just notified the Browns and the Bengals.
It really would have solved the whole problem.
The whole thing.
Yeah, just let the Bengals know we're coming to do it. As a current, that to me was the biggest mistake. You know, that they obviously notified the Browns because it was in their stadium, but they should have notified the Bengals because they were playing them next. And even if they weren't, just the fact that the opponent, both teams know, everyone knows. They thought they were covering their bases. They weren't.
So what do you think is going to happen, Miss?
I think that the Patriots are going to get some sort of small slap on the wrist from the league and say that we think this was innocent. The league's going to say we think this was innocent, but we can't let it go without some sort of penalty. So that'll be a fine of some sort. I don't know how big. I don't think it's going to be $250,000 like it was.
$50,000 to $80,000 or something,
something like that. Something like
okay.
that. It'll be a small fine.
That feels like what it is right now. That feels where we are. You know, the early reporting from the owners' meetings and the early reporting on the temperature in the league is that they are inclined to accept the Patriots' version of events. It feels like a fine. That's the reporting right now. That's how the whole story feels. I agree. Let me give you some game changers. Let me give you some things that could change that dynamic.
Sure.
One is if Cincinnati really decides to make a big deal of it, because apparently they're livid, you know, and if Cincinnati, who was there and viewed the thing, says and has evidence to the fact of this wasn't a mistake. We watched them for a long period of time. They knew what they were doing. They were up to no good. And here, we'll show you our video, and this is why. This is how. Okay? And if Cincinnati really decides to push it and really has evidence to back up how they feel, that's one thing. If other teams come out of the woodwork and call the league and say, interesting, there was a Kraft Sports production crew at our stadium last month, and we didn't think anything of it, but they weren't where they were supposed to be, X, Y, and Z. Okay? If there's other teams that then say, yeah, you know, now come to think of it, we had something with their crew as well. Okay? That would be a mitigating factor.
Sure.
And the third is just a-hole other owners who put the pressure on Goodell and saying, you can't, this is their third strike, you can't give them a slap on the wrist. And just without real evidence, without any real reason other than the competitive, you know, they hate the Patriots and just how these owners like to turn around and pork each other at every turn, which is really what it is. It's like they all just take turns screwing each other over. And, you know, a handful of influential ones get to Goodell and say, third strike, you can't let them off. And there's no real reason other than that. So those, I think, are three mitigating factors. If they start hearing from other teams who say, we have a story to tell, too, about those crews, and now there becomes a pattern, trouble. If the Bengals really make a stink of it, and if they have something, you know, again, they recorded it. They recorded the proceedings. They recorded the last 8 minutes of the proceedings anyway. So how did the guy carry himself when he got caught? What did it look like? Where was the scout? Because Howe says the scout was near. And so he didn't notice what was going on. Everyone else in the press box seemed to, you know, or enough people in the press box seemed to notice what was going on, but the scout didn't. And he was right there too, yet they were conspicuous, meaning they were obvious in what they were doing. So like that has to be squared. So, you know, let's see how far the Bengals want to take it and what they have on their tape. But if all things being equal, if what it is what it is right now.
Yeah, that it's basically an isolated incident.
They have to get something. The Pats have to be punished somehow because it's against the rules. And so they have to get something. Fine. Meaning a fine. And that's where it'll stand unless something else comes out of the woodwork.
Yeah, I mean, I think that that's fair. Again, the Bengals part of it to me is the only one that gets a little bit gray. Like, you know, I don't have the most respect in the world for the Bengals as an operation.
Clown show of an organization.
Well, so right. So new coach or not. Like, I sort of look at it and go, okay, so now we're trusting the Bengals?
Well, no, that's why I said what's on the tape.
Yeah, yeah, so I hear you. I mean, and again, look, if there's a pattern of it, well, that changes everything. I mean, that changes everything. And what do I think is going to happen here? I think the Patriots are going to get a slap on the wrist. And that, I think Belichick probably already knows that. I mean, based on how he went today, like, I think he felt like yesterday, I acknowledged that there was a mistake made. I'm willing to bet they've already had contact with the league about it and said, look, we don't think this is a big deal. Now, again, do they know definitively what the penalty is? No. But I think the league has probably said to them, look, relax. We don't think this is a big deal. We're just checking it out.
Okay. Coming up next, a couple football items. Chief among them, the offense, and getting some younger pieces involved in the offense and Josh McDaniels' role in that. We'll get to that right after these words in our long commercial-free segment.
Felger and Mass on 98.5 The Sports Hub and streaming anywhere you go on the Sports Hub app.
Hey.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most fans of country music, we're excited to learn that Luke Combs was back in the studio working on his next album. We've come up with our list of iconic Luke Combs music videos. Yes, Lovin' On You made the cut. Text Luke to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Luke to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.
I hate jokes. We're not taking jokes.
That joke blew.
It's Felger and Mass, 98.5 The Sports Hub.
Yeah, Nikhil, you know, number one, his ability to understand, you know, our system, our offense, and how you know, the roles we ask him to play in it, you know, is different than it was 3 months ago because now he has a much broader foundation of it. The communication is much easier. He works his butt off, you know, every day in practice, and he's here early, he's here late, and he's trying to, you know, close the ground on being able to go out there and understand who he's playing against, and what he needs to do to be successful. And there's no shortcut to all that. We know that. But I think he's got a great attitude. I think that he has, you know, a skill set that can certainly help us produce and win, and we need to, like I said, I need to do a better job of trying to find a way to get him the ball and get him involved so that he can do some of those things and do more of them.
So that last piece, Josh McDaniels, here. It's really, when you think of it, I didn't think about it enough after the game. Nikhil Harry, I understand Brady hates him. I understand he doesn't get the offense. I understand they all may be frustrated with him on a various level, some sort of combination or, you know, work ethic or toughness or adaptability or, you know, whatever. Like there's some intangible there clearly that they're frustrated by. And so like, I get it. Physically though, the play that he's scored on or should have scored on that play, how many guys on their team do that?
Not many.
How many guys can get around the edge like that, break that tackle, extend the ball, that sort of raw athletic play?
Not many. I mean, again, that watching that play, I think we all had the same reaction, which was, why can't you get this guy the ball more often?
And the same thing, the touchdown catch against Dallas 2 weeks before, whenever that was, the back shoulder.
Right.
How many guys on their team are making that kind of play right now? So
the only thing with that one is that it involves an acrobatic catch.
So?
So I'm not sure his hands are the greatest after watching him drop the ball on the sideline.
At least he's capable of that play.
Yeah, yeah, right.
I mean, maybe Sanu might be, but no one else on the team makes that kind of play. So, you know, I mean, even if he drops three more of them, he's still making that one. All I'm saying is, why haven't they done more to get him the ball?
Good question. And the big one to me is, you know what? Dumb it down. Like, again, like, throw him a bubble screen if you have to. Just get him the ball and let him try to run with it a little.
Screens, reverse. You run the slant. Slant. Just run the slant. You don't have to do anything else. Run the slant. Even if they're covering it, run the slant. Run to the back pylon. Even if they're there, this one's going to the back pylon. He might throw you the ball. He might not. You just go to the back pylon. And you don't worry about the call or the adjustment or the leverage of that. Just, you're bigger than the defensive back, so you're going to go to the back pylon. You're going to win a jump ball. Like, and I don't want you running that play every time, but I'm saying there's a way to get him the ball or attempt to get him the ball a half dozen times a game and see if he can make a play for you, because you don't have many guys who can make plays for you on that team.
I agree. Yeah, look, and he feels to me, after watching that play, like a hard guy to tackle. Right? Hard guy to tackle.
So there's clearly something there with toughness or durability. So he plays two snaps. He goes out with a hip. He wasn't listed on the injury report today.
Well, it says hip, but it says full participation.
Okay, so I don't get what that means then.
So that he had an issue, has an issue, but it didn't prevent him from participating.
So why do they list him on the injury report? So I don't pay attention to the injury report so much that I don't even know how they do it anymore. But
I'm just looking at it because I called it up, you know, while we were in break.
Right. So, but if you're a full participant, I didn't think they listed you on the.
So, for example, it says Tom Brady elbow full participation. Right. So, you know, there's something with the elbow, but it's not affecting him.
Fine. He didn't miss a second of practice apparently because he's a full participant, but he could only play two games because of the hip. So there's an injury thing with him that I think is an issue.
Sure.
I got it. Okay. But if he's in uniform and he's playing and you got no one who can make a play for you and Brady's under 50% or 55% completion, whatever the hell, and they can't get in the end zone, why don't you just dial something up simple for the kid?
I'll take anything with this offense at this stage. Hell, you can't run the ball. So how about 5 yards on first down with a bubble screen? Can we do that? I'll take the five. Because you can't get it on the ground.
Couple calls before we get to Perillo. Here's Al in Mansfield on Brady's future. What do you think, Al?
Hey, Tony, let me tell you. Brady's tying up all his loose ends, and he's downsizing, and there's only one reason. He's leaving. And it only makes sense to me, in my opinion. He's going to Miami, where TB12 can flourish with those rich Floridians down there. And also, why do you think Gronkowski would ever come out of retirement?
So,
I mean, Florida is made for him.
He lives down there.
Antonio Brown, he could start a new slate, and that's where he's going. And he's got a coach.
And that's it. Antonio Brown's already down there. Trains in Miami every day, lives there from there. Gronk's already on the beach, sippy, sip, sip. Now the Pats would have to trade Miami the rights. That would get interesting, right? You still have him for another year, right. I think. So yeah. That contract tolls, so he just can't waltz into Miami. You have to trade him. So you're going to help Brady out in a division rival by trading them Rob Gronkowski? It's going to cost Miami. Like, there's a whole thing there. Oh, it's so good. It's all good. It's
and
so
Miami
good.
Miami has a number of first and second round picks. Should be easy.
Okay.
And there's also another incentive that I alerted you to during one of the commercial breaks here. A buddy of mine gave me a heads up on. Stephen Ross, the owner of the Dolphins, is also the owner of Equinox Fitness Clubs and SoulCycle. So what better to add to that portfolio than...
Okay, salary cap violation, but we're not going to let that get in the way. There's a tie there. The bigger tie with Brady and Stephen Ross is the whole Michigan connection. I think that they have acquaintance, not just acquaintance, but there's a big connection there with the Michigan thing. No. Please. I mean, please, Lord.
Take Lord.
Twice a year, Brady versus Belichick.
The Take Lord.
Oh, God, it's so good.
Snappy throwbacks they've been wearing now, too. I'd have to buy one of those.
Dear Take Lord.
I mean, we'd have two games to watch every weekend. Two games to watch. Okay,
no, it'll be three for me. I already got two.
Okay, so we'd have three, you know, real, but at least two hardcore investments. That daily argument. Do you see what Brady did? You see what Bill did? Brady versus Bill, even when they're not playing each other. And then when they play each other, oh, my God. Oh. Twice a year. Twice a year. And, Jimmy, if we're lucky, third time in the playoffs.
Can you imagine that if Brady actually ended up in another team? Belichick could have more starting quarterbacks in the league than the NFC East, for crying out loud, really. Between Brissett, Garoppolo, Brady, Stidham, like he'd have you know, whatever that is, 12%, 8% of the league locked up.
Just my cup floweth over with takes. Who's more important, Brady or Belichick?
Facilitation, Mike.
The facilitating opportunities. Oh, my God. My cup filleth over with facilitation there.
Dear take, Lloyd.
What does Bill do without Brady? What does Brady do without Bill? Who's more important? Dear take, Lloyd. Oh, my God. Please let it be. Jim in the car on Independent Contractors. Go ahead, Jim.
Hey, guys. I just want to clarify something as to what an independent contractor is. So they're not part-time employees. They're not full-time employees. They're not employees at all. So they wouldn't work for Kraft Productions. Either they work for themselves or they work for some company that farms them out. So, you know, the Kraft Productions may call up the company and say, hey, we need a camera person and a tech person to come out here.
Jim.
Yep.
I don't need a – I mean, thank you for the clarification, but I'm not interested in the labor law. I'm interested in the fudgicle, which is what this is. It's a fudging of the truth. It's a fudge. And it gets my back up because I don't think the Patriots are – I think the Patriots are generally innocent in this thing. I do think it was more an innocent mistake than it was some of their nefarious stuff they've done in the past. I believe that. But that belief gets shaken when I hear little lies and or massages of the truth. And that's what I think of every time I hear them say independent contractor. The independent contractors, according to Howe, first of all, were audio and video technicians. So they're not in charge of the shot. They're not. That's the producer who is full-time. Okay. And furthermore, they're both locally based. They work with Kraft Sports Productions. They're from Boston. So I just think that's trying to, I don't know, it's fudging the truth. It was a Patriots crew. Just call for what it is. It was a Patriots crew. It wasn't someone from somewhere else that didn't know what they were doing. They clearly didn't know what they were doing, but it was Patriots people. So just call for what it is.
They're people who work regularly for Kraft. Whatever it is, Kraft Communications.
It's Patriots personnel. And by calling them independent contractors, you're just trying to plant that seed. Well, they weren't even our guys. They were your guys. They were their guys. They were Patriots people. And so if you want me to believe you, and I do want to give you the benefit of the doubt, don't tell little lies. Don't tell little fudges. Don't give me little fudgicles. Just be totally transparent. And if what happened is what happened, then, you know, we'll all believe it and we'll all see it. But don't lead me down the wrong path with, you know, little crap like that. Anyway, Paul Perillo standing by. We'll talk to him right after Murray's 90-second update, no commercials.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most fans of country music, we're excited to learn that Luke Combs was back in the studio working on his next album. We've come up with our list of iconic Luke Combs music videos. Yes, Lovin' On You made the cut. Text Luke to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Luke to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.